Welcome back to Tangential Banter. My name is Ben Mowell, and I'm here with my co-host, Jack Korsnowski.
Ahoy there.
It's been a while, friends.
That it has. And this is, unfortunately, not the start of Season 2, but is... I know. But it is, as Ben has been calling it, Season 1.5. It's the bump, the trailer, for Season 2. Now, as of right now, we still don't have a start date for Season 2. And the reason why our hiatus has been as long as it has been is for several reasons. One of them is because we wanted to sort of take a break from all the recording time and just get along with some other stuff, you know, in our lives, other stuff that we're working on. But also we wanted to let people kind of stew on Season 1 and let us know any suggestions for improvements or differences that they'd like to see. You know, do you want maybe the episodes to be shorter, longer? Do you have any sort of formatting suggestions, like should we have a short list of topics that we spend less time on? Do you want us to just keep rambling on about random things that just come to mind as we start? Should we take more suggestions? Should we have guests?
Should we take fewer suggestions?
Ah.
And if you suggest that, we won't take it.
Oh, man. That's like one of those cool paradox things.
Yeah.
Yeah. I can't think of any of those off the top of my head. I'm not very good off the top of my head, in case you guys haven't noticed. I can kind of just ramble on about stuff, but one thing I would never admit to like a job interviewer. So heads up, if you are somebody I am interviewing with, please stop the recording and don't listen to the rest of it. I'll give you a few seconds.
It's like a spoiler alert.
Yeah. Okay. Hopefully they listen to me and you're not listening anymore if you were someone I had an interview lined up with, but I'm not very good off the top of my head. I'm normally good when I have stuff thought out. When I have stuff written down, I've been able to sit and stew on stuff. But coming up with examples off the top of my head or answering questions off the cuff, not good at it. Myself, what about you, Ben?
I don't think that's totally true.
Me?
Yeah, we've had a lot of extemporaneous conversations over the years before we started this podcast. I think you have a lot of thoughts percolating in your head that have like preformed themselves, so they're prone to bearing fruitful conversation. So there's one that could stump you, but I think by and large, you're pretty good on your feet.
Well, the point that you made is that, you know, I had pre-percolated, was that the word you used?
Something like that.
On the stuff before. In other words, I have already thought about what we're talking about, so I do have something lined up. But a lot of, particularly the more specific questions, like for example, right, I was trying to come up with an example of what is more like a paradox of what you said, where it's like, if your suggestion is that we take fewer suggestions, we will not take that suggestion. I can't come up with any other sort of contradictory paradoxes off the top of my head.
Sure. Like yeah. It takes some. Yeah.
Right. Yeah. I'm not good. Okay. Yeah. That's what I'm not good at. So when I'm getting interviewed for a job and they say, tell us of a time when you did X, Y, and Z, I'm just like, if I don't have this written down in my notes, or it maybe I'll get lucky and remember something off the top of my head.
What if in your next job interview, they're like, tell us of a paradox that you thought of? And then your brain just completely shuts down and you're like, ugh.
I won't be able to answer that.
I might lose that job.
Well, then is it really a job that I wanted if it requires such off the cuff thinking?
That's a good point.
I wouldn't be comfortable.
It's hard to say. Yeah. So yeah, there are some changes that we're looking at for Season 2. So potentially updating some of our recording equipment.
Yeah.
Which would be a significant change considering it's all been done on a cell phone up till this point.
Yeah, and I mean, the sound quality is obviously not perfect. And I think another aspect is, you know, because we just have to put the phone down in front of us. If we don't get the spacing right, one of us will be louder than the other. Then the next episode, the opposite could be true. Or, you know, it's not very consistent. But I would say that the sound quality, although not perfect, is much better than I expected would come from a cell phone.
Yeah. Hmm.
But sound equipment's, you're right, that's one example. We would need to come up with another venue then if we're going to have,
like, yeah, we'd sit have at to a table. Like a studio kind of.
Yeah, we'd have to figure that out.
But additionally, we have some ideas for special segments that we'd like to introduce with some guest appearances. So there would be, in an ideal world, some regulars that would have a guest spot that could come on for some snippets and interject into the banter. And then additionally, a number of you, our listeners, have expressed desire to come out and talk about different topics. So
yes.
I think we'll actually start curating a list of who wants to come on and what topic they want to discuss.
You know, Ben, actually, I just remembered, and don't let me forget, that when we had our does atheism lead to nihilism discussion. There was a friend of mine who said, I want to be a guest as somebody from the opposing
The
view.
counterpoint.
And then one, I think that's a very healthy thing for us to do because I think that is a topic that has very strong implications psychologically or, socially, what have you, that both sides need to be represented in order to have a fair conversation needs to be had because the stakes are so high. We need to make sure that we have both sides represented well.
Yeah, I would agree. I also will put this out there. Jack and I were discussing today the state of dating in our culture and what that looks like. And so if you are a female listener that has experience slash an interest in talking about your experience,
From the female
from the
perspective.
female perspective about dating or being asked on dates or all the above, we would like to hear your perspective.
Right. I mean, it's just an echo chamber of me and Ben because we're both dudes. So, oh,
That's
by the
true.
way, something
We
that,
actually built a chamber that echoes.
yes, one thing that I am interested in knowing, this is kind of off topic, it's a tangent, one might say,
Wow.
is ladies out there, is the term chick offensive to you? Do you not like that term? Do you think that dudes ought to use that differently? Because when I'm talking about men and women, I don't say men and women. I say dudes and chicks. I'll say, oh yeah, she's a chick I know from church, or hey, a chick at work said X or Y. And not even meaning like chick as in, oh, that's a chick I want to date. I'm just talking about women in general. And when it's men, I will say dudes. There's a dude at work, there's a dude at church. Oh, Bob is a dude at church and he's married to a chick named Sally,
But you also call the restroom the little engineer's room.
Well, no, that depends on context. If I'm at
Yes, but at
church,
work.
it's the little evangelist room. If
Yes.
I'm at work, it's the little engineer's room. If
I was just
I'm
providing the broader picture that you have a eclectic mix of names that you apply to people and objects.
Oh, yeah, sure. I mean, it keeps things lively and entertaining and, keeps people on, their toes. Oh, what you gonna say next?
Although that does bring me back to the conversation we had at the office the other day, calling back to our episode about bathroom etiquette and how I was on my way to the restroom and told Jack that I was going to make memories.
And I was like, what are you talking about? Then he said, he mentioned an anecdote that we won't bother going over now, but I was like, ah, yes. Okay, you're going to the bathroom, is what you mean.
Yes. So if you hear me say that from now on, going to make
I
memories.
like that.
That
I might steal that.
has some other connotations.
But you know what? As much as I really want to steal that, I like my, I'm going to the whatever, the little whatever's room. But I'd say stick with that. Make that a habit.
It's just off enough that people will like kind of raise their eyebrows or ask a question and then they'll wish they hadn't, but they'll understand.
Like the whole, I'm gonna go see a man about a horse or a dog. So anyway, back to topic. Changes we're thinking about are bringing on more guests, increase or improving our sound equipment and recording equipment. Tied into that is I would really like to get a soundboard to have like little snippets, like quotes from movies and stuff. Not so much sound effects, but just quotes for I'm looking. I'm looking for quotes from movies and stuff because I make a lot of quotes from movies,
References.
references to movies, and when you're just saying them yourself, it's not as funny. But if you have the actual clip, then it'll be even better.
Yeah, you'd have to curate a quote board.
Yeah, quote board is a good way of putting it, and I'd have to remember which one's which. But I could probably get used to that, or take care of it in editing even. And also, we're going to introduce my favorite news section, which is Jack's Rants. Jack's Rants, which is where it's just me going off very aggressively on topics that are so mundane that they really don't even deserve to be talked about at all, much less angrily ranted about. That, because I get passionate about random stuff. I don't know if you've noticed that, Ben.
No, never once.
And Ben, you can have Ben's rants too, but I just want to make sure that we
Yeah,
just
I don't feel
get.
like rants suit my style. We could we maybe we can come up with some other segment, but
Okay.
yeah. Jack's rants, look for it. I
Yes.
think still to be determined if we include it as like part of the full episode or if they'll be standalone episodes on their own.
I personally, I've always thought about them as standalone episodes.
Sure.
Just because one, it's not going to eat into normal recording episodes. You know, it's not like we'll do half an episode of Jack's Rants, half an episode of us. Because that just seems like it's the whole lukewarm thing we were talking about earlier, right? Or no, I think I was talking about this with somebody else at work over the past couple of days where it's like you design something. Yeah, I was talking about this with a guy at work about the government's handling of the coronavirus situation, which is if you design a system in a compromised way that it can handle handle a situation in kind of two different opposing areas, you're not going to do either of them well. You're just going to do both of them kind of crappily. So think about like a
the generalist kind of.
Yeah. You're a jack of all trades, master of none.
Yeah.
So if we have that mentality for our episodes and Jack's Rants, I don't think that's a good idea because then people are going to say, people who wanted a full episode are going to think, oh, you know, they're going to just kind of talk for a little bit about something. It's not going to be what I want. And then somebody who wants Jack's Rants are going to be like, well, he's only going to be yelling into the phone for like a half hour. That's not what I want.
Yeah. Because what I think is missing in my life is somebody yelling into a phone for more than half an hour, like an hour or 2 hours.
Not just yelling into the phone. And I won't be yelling at the phone. I'll just be very passionately talking amongst myself. It's not just that. It's about how can this guy go on for so long about something so
irrelevant.
Yeah, so irrelevant.
Yeah.
That's going to be the purpose. So I hope to bring it, really.
If you've ever felt like that was a missing element of your life, just prepare yourself. Yeah. Jack will fill that void for you.
And I think it's something that, because I'll catch myself going off about random things or things that people never really wanted to talk about. You know, it's sort of like us, right? We'll get on a tangent and I'll find something that I'm like, for some reason, I'm really passionate about, something that really grinds my gears.
Like an automobile glass.
Yeah.
Why do we have it?
No, but something I could go off on is why aluminum is not used for automobile metal sheeting. Like, why is that not a thing? It's so simple.
You could go off on why we don't pronounce it aluminium. That might be.
I could tell you why. Well, one episode of Jack's Rants is going to be related to American exceptionalism. That's just a one sentence preview. There's more to it than that, but
so if that hasn't bled into Jack's comments to this point in the podcast, you'll get a full dose later,
right? And there, again, the reason that ties into why I want to do Jack's Rants, it's going to give me a way for me to get that out of my system, so that when I'm at work and somebody's asking me my opinion as to, you know, how we should engineer engine calibrations, should we do it for reliability or should we do it for performance, that I don't just go off on some topic that this other poor soul really doesn't want to hear a whole lot about.
So no. I'm going to change gears a little bit and briefly introduce my topic for today, just as a reminder of what the show is and will always be about.
Oh, so we are doing okay. So
yeah, just a little taste.
Okay.
A little salsa to sprinkle on the meal.
Okay. Oh, like a drink of water when they're like in the desert. It's not enough to keep you. It's not enough to bring you back to full health, but it's going to keep you going.
Yeah. It's like a way station.
Yeah. You know, this is a little bit to.
It'll nurse you along to get to season two.
Okay. I could dig that.
Yeah.
What you got?
Also, you could regard it as like somebody's in rehab recovering and then we're just sneaking them a little something
so yeah.
they don't quite fully recover.
Well, and it's, you know, help them rather than go full cold turkey, which can be dangerous for some drugs. You know, you have to wean them off.
Oh, I like it. You're actually looking at the helpful side. I'm totally going to the trying to re-addict.
Oh, side. I see. Yeah, that's a much more accurate analogy. Darker.
Anyway, so random thought that I had yesterday was, for those of you who've played any kind of video game or watched someone play a video game, many of them start where, especially role-playing games or RPGs, where you have the opportunity to create a character. And so you can choose the features of the character, like, you know, the shape of their face and the size of their nose and what their skin color is and what their hair color looks like, what their haircut is, all these different things. You know, some games to varying degrees. And the thought I had is, what if before each person is born, you know, we're up in heaven and God gives us the opportunity to create our character to play this game. And so, like, you know, we think, oh, I've been dealt such a crappy hand, I don't look good or whatever. And it was actually you that built that character before you were born. And, like, you had baby reasoning, and so you picked these traits that just don't make any sense.
And you were an acid. Don't forget about
yeah,
that.
Yeah, and your poor baby brain wasn't fully developed yet, and so you made all these irrational decisions that you can't justify later. And then by the time you've grown up, especially because your brain is developing so rapidly, you've completely forgotten the memory that you actually designed your character. And so now here you are looking to blame it on someone else or bemoaning how terrible you've had it when really you picked it all along.
That's right. And yeah, you would be none the wiser.
Yeah. And you can't disprove my argument. So therefore it must be correct.
Yeah, that's true.
It's very sound.
Yeah. Because the lack of a contradiction obviously means the confirmation of the original claim.
100%. I think that's how science works.
Mm-hmm. Absolutely.
No doubt. So that wasn't really tangential or banter, but.
Well, hold on. Let's keep this going then. So how would that work? So here's a question, right? So obviously, because we see that, you know, if you have, let's assume that it's true, then since like two Asian people can't birth a black child, you know, by themselves, then that would mean that if a baby picked, you know, let's say, you know, black skin, then God would have to say, okay, that's going to determine where you're born, right? Or not just skin color, but it'd be other traits as well.
Yeah. Or, I mean, so there could be two paths, right? It could be what you pick determines where you go, or it could be where you go is determined and that limits what you're allowed to pick.
Okay. So let's go over both those scenarios. So let's say it's pick what you want and then God will place you where best fits your selection. So now let's look at the let's look at the spread of populations and see what these acid-minded babies have been picking more often than not. Because, for example, China and India have very large populations compared to most other countries.
Yeah.
So something about those physiological, you know, types is really attractive
to babies.
To babies. So why is that? And I'm not saying
so that's what I think what we've just uncovered is that the population growth in certain parts of the world is because those people are very interesting to babies.
Yeah. So
babies want to be with those people.
So if this is true, if it's that babies pick what they want to look like, regardless of location, God puts them at the locations where that matches their visuals, then that means that there's something about the Chinese physiotype. Is that a word? Or
No.
Well, I'm going to use it because I like it and sounds cool. There's something about the Chinese physiotype.
What about was it archetype? There's some kind of archetypes. What are there's three different. There's like endotherm, ectotherm, and I can't remember what the other one is. You know what I'm talking about?
Yeah, but those are the body types. Yeah,
yeah. Was some like kind of pseudoscience.
It was well, I don't think it's pseudoscience. I think it's one of those things where it's true because all you're doing
something
ectotherm
morph some kind of morph.
Fun fact, the only reason why I know about what you're talking about is because in a Weird Al song, he says, you're an ectotherm, all right, is one of the lyrics. And I was like, what the heck is an ectotherm? And I looked it up. And then that was one of these three types. Yeah. I can't remember which one it is. But for those of you listening, there's some sort of system out there that breaks everybody up into one of three body types. And the terms are really weird. One of them is ectotherm. The other one's endotherm.
Yeah. And the other one mesomorph? Is that the third one?
Yeah, actually, I think so. Yeah. Or that's pretty close.
Yeah. So it's basically like fence post, rail thin, no body fat. Then there's like portly, like... Yeah. Just generally round type of person. And then the third type is kind of this in between that's like a muscular, stocky kind of
not too thin, but not all that round either.
So, I mean, I guess if you wanted to divide it into like you've got small, medium, and large or something like that, like just in terms of buckets, Like the categories are generic enough that you could find ways to make it fit, but it wasn't really based on science from what I know.
Well, and I think it sounds fancy because they have like those three weird
Right, the
terms, but
titles.
ultimately it's the same way as saying you're either a short person, a tall person, or a
Average
intermediate
person.
person.
Yeah, right.
Oh, and
That's how you can
that
categorize anything, right? You
doesn't.
take the two extremes
And
and
then
then you say you don't really fit in the extreme group, so you're somewhere in the middle.
yeah, I mean, all we have to do is come up with some weird sounding kooky scientific names, and boom, we just came up with a new type of science. Not, this isn't to bash science. This is to bash this particular system of breaking people into three body types.
Yeah.
Yeah. Anyway, so we got onto that topic because babies.
Yeah, so the other path that babies could be on is that they're where they are selected to go determines which
Well, hold on. We're not
attributes they.
done with
Oh, we're
the
not done with the
no,
first
because
branch.
it's
Okay.
like, yeah, you're right. So, well, I just if we are done, let's clarify where we are. There's something about China and India that if they pick their visualizations, if they make their characters completely without restriction, and then God decides where they go, then obviously a lot of babies have been making themselves into the Chinese body type, like physiotype, or the India physiotype. And again, I recognize that physiotype isn't a word, at least as far as I'm aware. I'm just using it because it means physiological type of body. And physiotype is a lot shorter and sounds cool.
So maybe the other element of that could be that you're not actually picking physical attributes. It's you're picking traits, like, especially in RPGs, you can pick like stealth or charisma or whatever like that. And so maybe you're picking traits more that would take you places. Or maybe it's like, what is your primary starch? And you can pick potatoes or rice. It's like the what the heck were those called? They used to be in magazines where you could, it was like adventure stories and you could,
Oh, choose your
it,
own
yeah,
adventure?
choose your own adventure. And then you'd flip to different pages depending on what the outcomes are. It's like kind of like that, where each choice you make, it's like, oh, your primary starch is potato. And then it limits like where you could be born.
That's funny.
And then you get further restrictions based on other selections that you make.
You know, actually, my friend sent me a he we got talking. Well, he said he was talking with his brother-in-law or something. And apparently out there, somebody had the
Relevation.
revelation. There's that
I'm
just
having a revelation.
There's that dyslexia again. Somebody's having a conversation about what, Ben, what is a sandwich? Right? And then it's like, or it's like, what would you define as a sandwich?
Oh.
And basically somebody was ma he was like, you know, technically a Pop-Tart is a sandwich because
Yeah.
you have starch, something in the middle. And then said, well, that's not a sandwich. I said, okay, what is a sandwich then? And so then basically it spawned this,
I
you know,
was.
like the, oh, hold on, I'm not done yet.
Oh,
Remember the
okay.
whole, you know, those character type things, like the 3x3 grid where it's good, neutral, evil, and then it's lawful, neutral, and
Chaotic.
chaotic.
Yeah.
Somebody had a grid of that, and it was like people's different definitions of sandwiches. So it was
Oh,
like, you know,
yeah.
and like the lawful good was basically the, not only is that something that everybody views as a sandwich, but it's also very specific about, like it was most restrictive. Then the lawful or the evil chaotic was the a Pop-Tart is a sandwich
Oh,
because
nice.
it's such a loose, it's such a loose, what's what I'm looking for? Definition that would
Sure.
include that. And
Yeah.
then somebody responded to that with a different system, and it's called the cube system, which is you base of which a sandwich is one subcategory. So it actually goes into many different
Oh, it
categories.
gives you a framework for how to interpret sandwiches.
Not just sandwiches. It's
I
how do
mean,
you.
but a you see where sandwiches fit in the world of this framework.
Yes. So
Okay, I
imagine
like
a
it.
cube, right? So
Yeah.
it's a box and it's got
A
six
GameCube.
sides. Yeah.
Okay.
It's got six sides. Based on which of those sides is considered structural starch, that will define what the food in front of you is. So for example, if the food in front of you has structural starch on the bottom side and the top side, but not any of the sides,
Yeah.
it is a sandwich.
Okay.
If your structural starch is on all sides, so it has starch on the top,
Yep.
bottom, left, right, front, and
And then it's
back,
a pocket.
then it's a calzone.
Okay, sure.
So Pop-Tarts are calzones.
That's actually much closer to the argument I was
Ravioli is a calzone, you know, stuff like that. Then the thing that I think...
So Hot Pockets or calzone. Well, yeah. I
mean, yeah, and then those PB and those Smucker's PB&J sandwiches.
Sure.
You know,
Uncrustables.
Uncrustables. Those are calzones.
Sweet calzone.
I think everything... Oh, what was it? When you only have structural starch on the bottom side, I think
that's open-faced.
Yeah, I think that was... Was that pizza? Oh, what was that? I'm trying to remember.
Yeah, I could see that.
But then the real funny one was when there's no structural starch at all. So it's an empty cube, right?
Yeah.
That's considered a salad.
Actually, did he have a category for all sides and bottom, but not top?
Yeah. Soup or a bread bowl.
Bread bowl.
Yeah. I can't remember what the bread bowl examples were. There weren't very many of them because that is sort of a weird.
What if there's only starch on top?
I don't think that one was covered. It probably was, but I don't remember what it was.
Are there any dishes like that with a starch
probably,
on top?
Probably.
Croutons?
No. Those are mixed in.
Sometimes they're on top.
But they don't have to be. And they're not structural.
Breadsticks on top of...
It's not structural, though. No. Hold on. So the salad was the most entertaining because it said examples of salad. And the first example was steak.
Nice.
Because it fits.
There's no structural starch.
Nope. It fits the classification.
Yeah.
I'll have to look it up. When you post this episode, remind me to, I'll find it and I'll send that link to you and then you can include it.
So, okay. Let me throw out this definition of a sandwich and you can critique it if you'd like. And this is, I'm still working on it, but roughly it is a minimum of three parallel planar elements in which the outermost two planes are of identical material.
You say three?
Yeah.
Three planes, like a club sandwich?
Huh? No, think of just like the most basic sandwich would be bread, something, bread, right? So okay. Those are your three planes.
Bread, something. Okay. Yep.
Right?
Yep.
And the outermost two planes are the same material. You could put more layers in there if you want of whatever, but as long as the outermost two things are still.
When you say outer two, do you mean the two sides or the top and bottom?
No, I'm talking about like if you have like a stack of playing cards. Think of it like playing cards, a deck of playing cards.
Yeah.
All stacked together, right?
Yeah.
The outermost two cards would be top and bottom.
Okay.
In this instance. Yeah. Right? So as long as those two are of the same material, it doesn't matter how many layers you have in between.
Oh.
It's still a sandwich.
Yeah, yeah. And I think people would agree with that.
And I would say it's generally something that is fit for human consumption with caloric value. But in generic use, it could be anything that matches that description, right?
Yeah. But then the question,
because we talk about like sandwiching something between two washers or whatever it might be, you know.
So the question then, what happens when you make a sandwich with not bread? Is it still a sandwich?
Sure.
So then the
whole. As long as the two outermost layers of the construction are the same material.
Oh, so then, okay.
They could be crackers, they could be rice bologna. Cakes. Yeah.
Okay.
Okay, like the double down from KFC. Did you ever have one?
No. What is it?
It's the best food ever invented by man, and they don't serve it anymore.
Oh.
But it was a sandwich.
Yep.
In which the two outermost layers of the sandwich were fried boneless chicken breasts.
Healthy.
And the interior of the sandwich was bacon, cheese, and I think Thousand Island
good
sauce.
Grief.
It was fantastic. It was absolutely the tastiest thing. They came out when I was in college, and KFC came out with their baked chicken and with double downs when I was in college. And we would make...
I love their baked chicken.
When they came out with baked chicken, they were offering a free piece of it on the day that they came out with it. So we found like there were three KFCs within driving distance. So we drove to each of them to get a piece of baked chicken in each one.
Nice.
And we also made frequent stops for double downs. But any of you listening, please confirm for Jack that Double Downs are the greatest sandwich ever created.
By the way, I found the site, and it's not a soup or a bread bowl, is where it's all sides. It's a quiche.
That's okay. The selection of which one names the category seems fairly arbitrary to me.
But yeah, I agree. But like pigs
what's
in a blanket.
What's the name of this website?
So the cuberule.com.
Cuberule.com. There you have it. Check it out. Jack's scrolling through it as we speak.
Yep.
I think you'll be entertained.
So basically the inverse of a sandwich, right? So in sandwiches, top and bottom are the only structural starch.
Right.
Now think about top and bottom are the only non, like the only open faces, right? So you basically have like a, it's wrapped around.
Yeah.
Now just plop it on its side. So instead of top and bottom being open, it's front and back or side and side. That's called sushi, according to the cube rule. And a couple of different examples are pigs in a blanket and an enchilada, because they actually match.
Wait, pigs in a blanket don't match that?
Yeah, they do, because you wrap the hot dog with the pastry.
Oh, yeah, okay.
Yeah.
I see.
And then the taco is where, you know, you only have the side, bottom, and the other side.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
And a hot dog's a taco. A sub sandwich is a taco, right? Because it's got bread on the top, the bottom, but then they're not cut all the way through. So technically one of the sides has bread. And then another one is a slice of pie, because when you cut like a pie with a crust on top and bottom, you actually end up with like a three-sided thing, because the top,
it's like
wraps
a specifically shaped taco.
Yeah. It starts on the top, then it wraps around the back, and then it's on the bottom. But
So if you eat a whole pie,
that's
it's a calzone.
But as soon as you cut it into slices, then each slice is a taco.
Unless it's an open face pie, in which case it's
toast is what it's called.
Toast is the single side.
Yeah, toast. Yeah. So pumpkin pie is actually toast because it's got crust on the bottom, but not the top. So
this is what happens when you have too much time to categorize things in life.
Yeah, pizza is toast too. Mm. So anyway, back to babies.
Okay.
Yeah.
So now to the other path of
Position
is selected. So their spawn point has been selected
for
their team.
So either
and now they get to pick the traits available for their team.
Well, it's a thing, right? So we're trying to figure out, in either situation, why are so many babies picking either I want to be Indian or I want to be Chinese?
Hmm.
Why are those the popular options? Which we haven't actually discussed, which is probably good, because I feel like that conversation can get really racist really quick, or at least be perceived as such.
Yeah.
Stereotypes and whatnot. Because I don't know how else I don't know how we could easily dance around that stuff if we're talking literally about why would somebody want to pick to be one of these races?
I mean, we would also be then indicting ourselves, right, as being not as desirable to babies.
You're right.
So
mm-hmm.
It's hard to be racist when you're saying that you're inferior.
Isn't that still technically racism?
I guess. I don't know if that's what anybody's going to be worried about, though. We're a worse race.
So
you guys are better.
So either, you know, there's some, we'll leave that to your guys' imagination, right? Why would babies, if they get to pick what traits or what their visuals are, or physiotype, again, I recognize that's not a word, but if they are picking based off of the Indian Chinese physiotype, why are so many of them picking that? So then that's that one question. We'll leave it open-ended for you guys, you know,
but also,
imagination.
But also, there's an element that, nope, never mind.
Okay. So, so we'll leave that.
Now for something completely different.
We'll leave that to your guys' imagination. Now we're going to tackle, okay, but what if they get to pick not what they look like or what traits they have, but where they get to be born and then what they can look like or what traits
I was saying if where they get to be born is predetermined and then they get to pick traits, right? Because the other branch was they get to pick traits and that determines where they're born. What if where they're born is determined and then they get to pick traits?
That's what I'm saying is we were going to say if they get to pick the traits and then God will place them where their traits fit. Why are so many babies choosing to be Chinese or Indian?
Right.
And then that's when I was like, let's not dig into that.
Yeah. But I just want to clarify. So as we're coming back to this, this isn't, they get to pick, this isn't where they get to pick where they're born. This is where they're born as already assigned, and then they get to pick their traits within that as a subset of that.
Oh, I would thought we were going to talk about, well, why?
Because we were talking about whether...
they pick their traits and God places them where those traits fit.
Right, or he places them, and then they get to pick within a subset of traits that would fit in where they're going to be
placed. Oh, no, I thought we were going to go
That's
one
what
step,
I meant.
I thought we were going to go one step removed where they get to pick where to go, and then God will...
Well, maybe, either way, you end up at the same answer, right?
Well, yeah, but...
There's so many babies that want to pick to be in India or China.
Well, no, because God, you're saying that God would choose to put them in India, then he would say, okay, now pick what you look like, but you have to be Indian.
Right. Yeah.
That's not as fun a conversation to ask, because then what's the question that we're trying to answer? I thought we were going to try to answer, why are so many babies picking to their spawn point to be China or India? That's a more interesting conversation, isn't it?
I think, I don't know, it seems like the same conversation as the other branch.
Well, it's not. No, because the other branch is saying, why would you want to be specifically, without knowing anything about culture, location, anything, just visuals, why would they want to choose to be Indian or Chinese?
And again, these aren't like rhetorical, angry whys of superiority. These
no, this is
like
literally, general, why would...
What's the decision process for a baby to select their preferred traits? Right?
That's really
the question that's being asked.
Yeah, That's a good point. Let's clarify.
Why would a baby choose any specific traits?
Right.
And why would the traits we see be the ones that are chosen?
And he's picking the traits, or she's picking the traits, because we're going over the scenario where we, as the human race, before we are born, God says, okay, baby, create a character.
Choose
you are
your
at
character.
The, you are at the create a character screen.
Or it's kind of even like... it could be a different scenario. It could be like Super Smash Bros. Choose your character.
Oh, okay.
Where there's this predefined set of what you have to work with. And you go, that one looks good.
But that's really the same question. It's just a matter of the how much control you have over the minutiae changes.
Sure.
But
Falcon Punch.
Well.
So choosing your location, I mean.
Because then the question becomes, why are so many babies choosing to be born in China and India? And remember, we're not talking about babies that, you know, have a good grasp on socioeconomic history. We're talking about babies that have the brains of babies, have a globe in front of them, and are just mindlessly grabbing at it, and also are probably have the same brain activity as somebody who's on PCP. But that was from a previous episode. But basically, these babies are tripping pretty hard.
Which we also have firmly established is not grounded in science.
I won't go that
but
far.
But it sounds fun.
Yes.
It sounds fun.
True or not, that's going to be the scenario that we're playing out.
And also, what if it was more of like a, not like a draft, but like a, like there's a certain number of quota of babies that have to go to different places.
Maybe like
and it's like, Johnson, all right, we need you to go to, you're going to Great Britain. All right.
Bob, you're going to Bhutan. Sorry. I was thinking Nepal and Bhutan.
Yeah. Bhutan.
Bhutan.
Bhutan. Anyway.
Yep. So what? Okay.
Interesting pondering.
So the first part, I'm so confused about what question you want to answer. Because the part one was, why would a baby choose to be Chinese or Indian? Because apparently if the scenario is true and they get to pick what race and what traits to be, or what race to be / which traits to have, a lot of them are choosing to be Chinese or Indian. That's why those countries have such large populations. But then the part two was, okay, what if they got to, I thought it was going to be, if they got to pick their spawn point, why are so many babies picking not to be Chinese, not to be Indian, but are picking on a map, China and India, not knowing what the world and history actually was like. They just saw a globe and said, I like this spot right here for some reason. That's the question I was trying to answer. I guess.
So for me, it was the first branch is the traits drive the spawn point.
Yes. Yep. So then the question is, why do they pick to have those traits?
Right. And then the other branch was the spawn point drives the traits.
So then the question
but
is...
in both instances, the only thing that the baby is picking is the traits. That was the question I was answering in my head.
So the second scenario is more restricted to them, where God says, you, Frank, are going to be born in India.
And yes, Frank, the Indian guy.
Yep. And that's going to restrict your choices for traits, but pick within these.
But only just like the first example you gave that led me down that path was the Chinese couple having a black kid, essentially.
Right.
Right. So that'd be the restriction. But there are actually, and we could look this up later, but I'm pretty confident that just like there are cases of like albinism where the people born with like no skin pigment, I think there are the opposite of that, where people neither of them have genetic markers for like dark skin tone can have a child that does.
Oh, really? Yeah. Like notably like dark, not just like, oh, he's got like a tan. It's like,
wow. Anyway.
Really?
Yeah.
Dang, that'd be nuts.
Yeah, it'd be kind of crazy.
Yeah.
But I mean, when you have 8 billion people and a lot of variation, the possibility of getting those like outlier occurrences is increased, right?
The probability is increased.
Yes, but the possibility in terms that you have all these low probability events.
Yeah, the frequency.
But there's so many events, eventually you'll get one to hit and you'll have the outlier.
For those sticklers among you, I said the frequency would increase. The absolute frequency would, not the per capita frequency, which is essentially effectively the same as probability, which I already established would not change. Just throwing that out
correct.
There.
Yeah. Huh. So there's your statistics lesson for today. Gentle people. Well, this feels like a good stopping point. So
yeah, this was just supposed to be like a 5 or 10 minute update.
Yeah. And we couldn't help ourselves. We want more tangential banter.
We do.
And Jack's rants.
Now to put this in perspective, people, we didn't stop season one because we ran out of steam. Ben and I had like a 3-hour conversation before this podcast recording, and we're going to have a, hopefully not equally as long because it's already like 6:30, but another conversation after this, but another topic. So we got plenty of fuel to keep going. We got more, rants.
Tangents?
Thank you. We have more tangents to rant on than we can shake a stick at. Now,
I've got more tangents to bant on.
Sorry, what did I say? Rant?
Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
Both rant and bant.
Yeah. We have enough sticks to bant a tangent at.
I think we've exhausted that that path of inquiry.
Yes.
All right, well.
Let's turn this off.
Thanks for tuning in. And keep your eyes and ears peeled for updates for season 2. Coming soon to a streaming platform near you.
Mm. Which streaming platforms or what media would you like our podcast to be on?
Also, announcement I saw today on Anchor, the app where we record this podcast, that we can now publish to Spotify, which apparently wasn't available before. I thought it was. Anyway, so if you've been listening on Spotify before or you wanted to be able to listen on Spotify before, that should now be an option.
Yeah. So again, another thing we want to know is how you want to listen to us so that we can know that and make it happen. Anyway, thanks for listening.
Signing off.